Let's open our Bibles back up to Ezekiel chapter 1. And we left off with the cherubim in the 12th verse here in Ezekiel chapter 1. And as we started into this, we understood the Lord is bringing us here a vision, an earthly vision. We see the number 4 continue to come up, which speaks of the earthly. We see the cherubim, the 4 living ones, as we are told there in the 10th chapter of Ezekiel that this cherubim, they're the 4 living ones. The same 4 living one vision that we're seeing in Revelation. The same ones that are seen in Revelation that are ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus, that are pouring out the vials, that are sounding the trumpets. Praise God, they're called the 7 angels at different times. They're called all these different things, just like Jesus Christ is called the Lamb. He's called the King of Kings, the I Am. He's seen in many different ways, a whirlwind. See, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. Praise God, she grows into that, and how the Lord is so glorified and magnified in her that she is so Christ-like. But in that, these first 12 verses that we read a couple weeks back, I think the thing to receive here before we go on is the absolute testimony that the bride is one with Jesus Christ. Absolute oneness. Praise the Lord. When he moves, she moves. When he stops, she stops. When he turns, she turns. Everything is exactly the same. They're in unison. They're in line with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these are a group of believers, these 4 living ones. They're alive. They're the living ones that worship. And they worship in unity of the Spirit. They worship in spirit and in truth. And when you worship in spirit and truth, you're going to worship in the unity of the Spirit. The much the more as you see the day approaching. I love to hear when people say, I love to come to church to hear the word of God, but I love to come to church to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ and to be with those that are looking for that day. That first trump day. That day that it's going to be blown. The ones that are going to be transferred airmail and see him in the air. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So that's what it's getting at here. And we see that there are no divisions in this body. There's a oneness. It's seamless. They're perfectly joined. She is the glorious church, as the Word of God tells us. Without spot or wrinkle. She's not distracted. She's tending upon the things of the Lord without distraction. She's affixed on him. This life, by the grace of God, it is truly becoming more and more about Christ in us, isn't it? We're starting to see that it is the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the whole theme. That's it. That's the mystery in Colossians that Paul brings forward, is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And it's amazing. I was looking up that word hope again today, and I just rejoice in it. And how many dimensions in that hope? But that word hope means manifest or manifestation. Christ in me, the manifestation of glory. Also means evidence. Christ in me, the evidence of glory. I just think how marvelous. And we're going to read about this wonderful, we call him the cherubim, I call him my wonderful sister. And praise God, I hope to be that sister in the Lord and in a sense in that bridal company. Not that I've attained, but I'm hoping. Praise God. Not that I've apprehended. I'm hoping to apprehend. I'm trusting in him and his faithfulness that he'll make me a readied wife. Praise God. That's why we're here, to learn of this, to truly, there's got to be some excitement, brothers and sisters. Or I don't think the groom's going to necessarily, he wants you, but are you going to be ready? Got to be anticipating by the grace of God. It just happens, the grace that he gives us to love this story. But she is tightly knit, compacted together. She rejoices in the one mind, the mind of Christ that rules and reigns in the full overcomer, that sings in her heart the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and nothing less. And brothers and sisters, the unity or the oneness that we've read about that's in these wonderful 4 living ones that we see here must be evident and going on in us now. That's the call here. That we dwell together. And we've been rejoicing in that word dwell. It's to settle down in marriage. And I don't know about you, but truly I think of the marriage of harmony, the marriage of oneness, the marriage of agreement, the marriage of a house that is not divided. That's the marriage that God wants to give you naturally, but more important, spiritually, that's the requirement. It is. It's just the requirement. It's going to be there. If you'll enter into that, if we will enter into that, brothers and sisters, it is a peace that passes all understanding. You just settle into it. It's the rest and the very rest of God. It's the peace. It's the very peace of God that He gives us. It's His. As He rested in His Son, you'll begin to rest in His Son. I'll begin to have the same peace as God has because it's His peace that He gives me. And I rest in that. And it's amazing. It truly becomes, the only way we can describe it, it's the peach that you're going to have to taste. It's the peach that I'm going to have to taste. Because I can't tell you what it tastes like. You're going to have to taste it for yourself. It's all coming together. Oh, what a farmer can teach us. Praise God. But ruling and reigning jointly with Him. The non-comparable glory of bringing forth judgment with Jesus Christ. See, there's a reason He wants us to participate in that. I just think that's wonderful and it's marvelous. And He spends many, many chapters throughout the Word of God bringing us into that knowledge of we are going to reign jointly with Him if we will allow Him to fulfill His glory in us here. It's amazing. Amazing what He wants to do. Praise God. So here we are in the midst of the tribulation. And the four living ones seen on earth, and God's going to be pouring out the wrath through them. Again, His bride, the four living ones, the four beasts, the cherubim, are all the vessels, praise God, that He's going to perform His complete and perfect will in. I just think it's awesome. I just think, how could it be? But praise God, you think, you know, I'm getting a vision as I was sitting there. I said, you know, Lord, is anything hard for You? You'll prepare me for this. I'll trust You. You'll prepare me for this. I'll understand how to rule and reign with You. Because I'll have a body like unto Your own glorious body. I'll have a mind like Yours. I'll have a body like Yours. I'll understand beyond understanding of what I understand right now of what it's going to be. But I thought about how, God, You brought this knowledge that there's a bridal calling, that You truly will have a wife. And that You're calling mankind, not just to be saved, but to come into the full knowledge of this. He's no respecter of person. Now, praise be to God, if He's capable and able of that, no telling what He's capable of when I have a body like unto His own glorious body. You see? Praise God. I hope we get a little bit more encouraged in the faithfulness of God as we go on. All right, let's pick it up in verse 12. We'll read that again and then go into 13. And they went everyone straight forward. This is the cherubim. See? They went straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. See? Again. Where's the Spirit lead? Praise the Lord. Even now, it's the same thing. It's not going to be over there like that unless it's happening over here in our life like that. You're not going to join into this joint reigning. We're heirs of God once we received Him as Saviors. But a joint heir with Christ. If so be that ye suffer together with me. We must go that way if we're going to reign this way. Amen? Amen. There's no other way. This is it. This is what He's called us to. And praise be to God, as I see the sufferings, I know that they're called of the Lord. We're suffering by His grace, that these things that for His name's sake. It's so wonderful what He's brought us into. You talk about fellowship. But here we go. So whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness, here we go, of the living creatures, as the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Now this verse 13 is pretty awesome here because it's describing the four living ones in a way that we haven't seen them described yet. We've seen them as a whirlwind. We've seen them as angels. We've seen them as four beasts. And now we're seeing them as fire. And it's incredible how alive these spiritual beings are. And they continue to truly be transformed into manifold glory. Manifold glory, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, manifold, many folds, many manifestations, is Christ Jesus Himself. And I'd like us to turn over to Daniel chapter 10. That's Daniel chapter 10. And let's read verses 5 and 6, and we'll read of the glory of the Lord. And it's so wonderful here because you're going to see there's no coincidence here. Think of what we just read of her likeness. Now we're going to read of His likeness. And we're going to see that she is His glory and vice versa, that this Christ in me is the hope of glory. It's the real deal here, brothers and sisters. So Daniel chapter 10, verse 5 says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen." Linen speaking here in the Word of God, speaking of righteousness. And this is none other than Jesus Christ Himself, "whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz, his body," here we go, here's "his body, also was like the beryl." Now we're going to see this word beryl, which is a just an absolute clear, brilliant light, or a brilliant stone. We're going to see this in verse 16 of Ezekiel 1 that refers to the four living ones as seen as beryl. And then you go back here and it says, "And his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms as his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." And it's just so wonderful that they're like one another. Here's the lightning as we read here. It's all powerful, tremendously shocking and bright. You have to stand still when lightning hits. You stand still and behold the glory of the Lord. It's like lightning. And brothers and sisters, I hope by the grace of God, when we see that transformation happening right now in brothers and sisters in Christ, that we stand and behold the lightning that's coming forth. It's powerful. Take note, mark them. See this wondrous glory in these brothers and sisters. I hope that we're rejoicing in this. And then these lamps of fire here, or these burning coals, it speaks of judgment. It speaks of the altar. And we're going to really rejoice in that in a little bit further. But he's her light, and she's his light. Praise God. I just think that they're each other's light, and they're so truly in love, and they're so like each other in description, in form, in character, the will of God just running through them. I was thinking as I was reading this, what about Brother John there in Revelation? How wonderful there. As he was being taken up in spirit and he was shown all these things. Now you got to remember again, this is John who beheld the face of Jesus, who laid his head upon his breast, who heard the heartbeat of the I Am. And he's sitting there time after time falling down and worshiping the one who is showing him around. And the one who is showing him around, who is a full overcomer saint, no doubt, keeps picking him up and said, "Knock that off. I'm just as you. I'm redeemed." But so glorified, so magnificently full of the glory of God, that John himself cannot tell the difference. This is Christ. Isn't that amazing? Praise be to God. Let Him bring it all together for you. This is what's happening, and this is why we grow from glory to glory. And it's happening now. This isn't for someday. It's from glory to glory into His very image, brothers and sisters. That's the transformation that Jesus Christ is pleading, "Let me do in you right now. Let this Spirit work this in your life." Now go on back to Ezekiel 1 and let's pick it up in verse 14. So Ezekiel 1:14, "And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning." So here's glory just flashing everywhere. And you think about lightning. I was thinking how exciting it is to watch and behold, but how terrifying it is when it's bestowed upon you. And that's what's happening here, is there's ones that this is going to be bestowed upon. This is also giving the sign of, this is the great tribulation breaking forth here, brothers and sisters. This is the judgment that's being poured out. We're going to go to Revelation here in a minute, and we're going to be at the seventh trump time. And that's right when everything gets quiet, and then boom, as far as there's just a silence of a half hour or whatever it says there. We'll read it in just a second. But there's that silence of just a half a time. And then boom, that wonderful wrath is poured out and the great tribulation begins. And it's wonderful how it is just poured out and all consuming. And Israel or Jerusalem is going to be judged. It's just going to happen. God said it's going to be like that. And God is going to show his wonderful mercy and his power upon those that have come down to take it as well too. So now, as terrifying as it is for those that it's bestowed on, how exciting it is for us to watch and to see. And you think the glory in these earthly vessels right now that we had mentioned, that's us, brothers and sisters. We may look weak to the world. We may look despised to the world, but we are the lights of this world by His grace. We are. And know who you are in Christ. It's not to walk around in anything but thankfulness and absolute gratitude to say, thank you, Jesus, that I know you. Thank you, Lord, that you are guiding my steps. Thank you, Lord, that I know the purpose of this life. And praise be to God, I'm thankful to say I see my brothers and sisters in Christ growing brighter and brighter in the glory of God. I know your body might seem more weary. Somebody said, oh, I'm getting older. I said, well, that's fine. You're getting more polished, too. You're starting to shine. Isn't that wonderful? And the day is approaching. We're becoming more like Him. I'll tell you, from glory to glory, we couldn't be in anything better. Praise God. I say thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to go ahead and turn over to chapter 10 of Ezekiel. Because in chapter 10, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, as we started Ezekiel, as I started this study, I told you. I said, well, we'll hit through the cherubim in a couple, three Wednesdays. And I forget how many Wednesdays ago that was it now? But then even in Ezekiel, how the Lord has just been expanding on it. And I don't, again, as I was telling a sister today, I said, we don't want to go so deep a bubble doesn't come up. But, you know, we could never even touch the surface of this stuff. But God, just keep me on the cherubim here. Keep us on this wonderful thought of who we are in Christ, what you've called us to be, the vision that you had for each and every one of us before you ever set a star in heaven, how this plan was rolled out, how it's real. And praise God, how we've rejoiced in it in Revelation, how we rejoice in it in Paul's epistles. But praise be to God, how in understanding Paul's epistles, Revelation comes real. And now we can go back to the Old Testament and say, my goodness, Lord, how much light you've just shown on this stuff. And it is amazing how this continues to come out. But here in chapter 10, and we'll begin from verse 1, there's a similar vision here, but it really is more detailed, and I think it's very exciting. And let's go ahead and read chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims. So here's the firmament. Above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man, clothed with linen, here's that man again, praise God, and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with the coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city, and he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house, when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when He speaketh. I'll tell you what. This, it's just beyond. You know, you think about this. Here's this continuing judgment going on. I mean, we're in the midst, as we're starting to read here, of the great tribulation time pouring forth, and yet the Lord is bringing out the intimacy that He has with His bride. Do you see how the Lord, He's not worried about all that. It's going on. That's the will of God. We're going to do this. Praise God. But my affection's still set on you, honey. I just think it's thrilling. Praise be to God. It's still all about the glory that he has placed in her and the glory that he is rejoicing in her about. And it's just marvelous to look at the intimacy of Christ and his bride going on all the time. They are truly in love in the midst of this battle. And it's the love that continues to press this on. It's the love for the will of God. It's the love for one another. And it's just like now. We may be in great strain. We may be being pressed out of measure. And I'm understanding that it is that way. And praise be to God, it is that way. The Word of God said it had to be that way. But praise be to God, the joy that is set before us, brothers and sisters, it covers all of that. It presses us on. It's the joy that's set before us. We endure. Just as he did, because of his enabling, because of his grace. Just as he saw us upon that cross, I'm willing by his grace to go and pick up mine and say, Lord, praise God. Praise God. This isn't out of duty. This is out of privilege. This is out of thankfulness. This is out of gratitude. Now, I understand that a lot of these things, brothers and sisters, we had a very sincere and very filled, spirit-filled brother that the Holy Ghost wrote through that said, you know what, none of these things at the present time seem to be pleasant. So don't sit there and look me in the eye and tell me, well, it's pleasant. But in the light of his glory and grace, it's beyond pleasant. It's euphoric. It's tremendous. It's spectacular. It's amazing. And it's going to get us through. And it's going to make us well able to overcome it. Praise God. So, the love of the truth, the love of the will of God, and the authority and the power that he is ready to begin to place in his son. We're seeing this right here. See, he hasn't taken the throne yet. It's getting ready. You know, the millennium's about ready to go. God is having him still do these things. And our day is coming, and it's so exciting to see. But notice here in verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. The glory of the Lord is all about her. It's over her. It's her head covering. It's her headdress. It's all right there. It's the firmament. Isn't that wonderful? Heaven itself captivating her thoughts. Where are our affections told to be set? On the things above, not on the things of this earth. See, these characteristics are alive in her now. This is just the manifestation of that glory, the hope of glory. The hope of glory has always been in her heart as she's lived and breathed on this earth. And then it just becomes manifest. It's already there. Just the natural eye can't see it. But I see many a bridal saint, by the grace of God throughout my life, I've seen them walking and I've seen the vision of the firmament on their head. Their thoughts are heavenly. They know that they're seated in the heavens in Christ. They know that that's been taken care of. And that now, praise God, that vision isn't just a firmament. That vision isn't just the sapphire, which, praise be to God, speaks of the Lord himself, the presence of God. It becomes the throne. It's even more defined. It's even more spectacular. I'm not just seated with you, Lord. You're offering me the midst of the throne. And that's what's captivating her thoughts. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. And you think about this. This is happening through the tribulation. See, that's still got to take place before God will seat him as God. The millennium's about to start. Don't you think that she's caught up into that glory as well too? Oh, my husband is going to take the throne. My husband is going to take the throne. I'm watching all this, but I'm not just observing. Praise God. He's given me a body. And we're going to read about things that she's going to call because the will of God is performed in her. Like, well, Like, praise be to God, it needs to be happening right now. The bride or the wife hath made herself ready. You see why I have to pray so much. It is so much. But may God just continue to bring it, the simplicity of the gospel. It is. It's just overwhelming. I think as I study this, I think, Lord, when Brother Ray talked about drinking from the fire hydrant, but, you know, he can expand everything to make that possible too. So praise the Lord. But they're soon going to be on that throne together. And then verse 2 here. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen. So here is God speaking to his son. And how do we know this? Well, we just read about this in Daniel 10, didn't we? In Daniel 10, 5, the man clothed in linen, the linen being the righteousness. And that's exactly who he is. The righteousness of God. Isn't that wonderful? Fully taking instruction from the Father. Thy will be done. Christ still waiting to take the throne as God, waiting for the beginning of that millennium, and here he is instructed to go in between the wheels. Now the wheels are going to speak of the ongoing judgment, and those wheels are so absolutely amazing that by the grace of God, we're going to have to wait till next study, because there's way too much there, brothers and sisters. I want to hit it. I really do. But every time the Lord has me wait and be patient, he brings me more. So it's going to be perfect whenever it comes out. I'm still praying that he can express it to us himself face to face over there before we ever even get to it. But praise God what it's going to be if he does tarry, because it is so absolutely mighty, this judgment in this tribulation time. But notice here, in verse 7, I'm kind of jumping down just a little bit. It says in chapter 10, verse 7, and one cherub stretched forth his hand between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with the linen, who took it and went out. And I just marvel in that. Ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. My goodness, under the instruction of the hand of the Father, they both are. They're working together. I just believe it's marvelous. Now, brothers and sisters, let's look at that in today. The vessel, remember the word vessel? Adding to the usefulness of her husband. Isn't that not for us today by the grace of God? Isn't that wonderful to have the full gospel, the full counsel of God poured through this vessel? Poured through your vessel, and to be rejoiced in and overflowing and poured out and to be used of him. This is just being used in another way. Praise God. It's the same thing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The wife that has made herself ready is pouring forth this wonderful truth. The very perfect and complete all of the will of God is coming forth and continues to come forth and more mighty and more mighty. And in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace toward us. I mean, and I'm reading stuff here that God is allowing my heart to get it around a little bit. But then the exceeding riches. I mean, what is that? Really, if I could just take pictures of you right now. Cross-eyed, hair blown back. That's just what the Spirit does. Praise the Lord. But ruling and reigning jointly with him. How exciting. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 8. We have some time. We'll rejoice some more in this here. Revelation chapter 8. And let's read verses 1 through 6. And again, this will just continue to prove it. This is the line upon line upon line upon line upon line upon line that continues just to substantiate this wonderful love and calling. Okay, so here we are in chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. That was the silence I was talking about the space of half an hour. Now, six of these seals have already been opened. This is the seventh one. So we're at the final time. And this seventh one, when it's opened, the great tribulation is going to start to happen, okay? The wrath, the full wrath of God is coming forth. It's going to be cleanup time, all right? And here he goes, and John says, I saw the seven angels. And remember, these seven angels speaks of the spiritual perfection. These are the full overcomers in Christ. You're looking at bridal saints here. So even though they're called angels, don't be dismayed with that at all. Remember, these are glorified, absolutely magnified, magnificent, glorified saints. And he's just seeing them as these angelic beings. But these are redeemed unto God. And they're the ones that are ruling and reigning with him. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Here they go. They're going to call to order. Call to be ready. Here we go. And another angel came and stood at the altar. Now we have the seven, and here comes this other one that stands at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now who's the only one that can offer our prayers up to God? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here he is. And here he is seen as an angel. Can you imagine that? Come on. Do you see? It's just so spectacular. There's just so much wonder. This is just how the Holy Spirit has encouraged John's heart to express it. This is what he was allowed to see and write in. So here we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one and only intercessor, the one and only that can bring the petitions. Praise God. And here he is bringing him before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and he filled it with fire of the altar and he cast it into the earth. And that's exactly what we were reading back there in Ezekiel of the different coals that were given. And he cast it upon the city. So we're here at that same shot. Praise God. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Always prepared, always ready, aren't they? The wife has made herself ready. She's prepared, she's listening, she's attentive. Thy will be done, that he was work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's always been consistent there. And brothers and sisters, it's love that does this, and nothing but. It's nothing that could ever come from us. It's nothing that naturally could ever come that we would want to do. I had a young man in my office today, and very remorseful of things. Well, I just can't seem to do it. I said, until you get rid of I just can't seem to do it, it's never going to happen. Love is what's going to get you through. Love is what's already conquered it. We have to get a vision, brothers and sisters, of how much he loves us. And it's the love of God that causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is. That's it. And his love is so infinite. That's what's so amazing. And it's so immense. But he's called us to understand and to know the love of God in every dimension. But we know we can never exhaust that. But what we know we have for today, but tomorrow he's got more of it to know. It's just like that wineskin that keeps expanding. And that's what's so exciting about the love of God. That's what's so exciting about life itself. Is to grow up in Jesus. The thrill of knowing that your life, really knowing who you are, as David said, search me, Lord, know me. Know me. But as he's knowing me, he's showing me more and more. I know the man that I was. Praise God, I see the man that I am. But my goodness, I'm getting a vision of the man I hope to be. And isn't that marvelous? And then from glory to glory, to sense and to see and to live and to breathe the transformation. That's what's beyond. Now I've lost words. It is. Because it's so heavenly. It's so absolutely. My body can't even stand it right now. It's unspeakable. It is. It's unspeakable. It's the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. That's what it is. And that's not a cop-out. That's just what it is. So that's it. But praise be to God. So, We see that. We rejoice in that. That's going on right there in Revelation, the proof upon proof. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 10. Let's go to the third verse. I believe He's thrilling us in this. I'm so thankful that God has excited our hearts. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in. Now this is the Lord. We know that the man, the one that was in the linen, as he went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Now here we see the cherubim standing. And obviously we understand. She stands, withstands, having done all to stand. Praise God in Revelation, the third chapter, the Philadelphia church, they're made pillars. Did you know that? Remember that? Praise God. They're the pillars. What do pillars do? They stand. They support. And why? Because they have a little strength. And why? Because of the grace of God. And that's it. They just stand on the Word. They're not moved. They're not tossed to and fro. They're not like children anymore. They've decided, you know what? Lord, You said it, and it's so. Lord, You said that You would work it for my good, and that's so. And You said that You'd even perfect that which concerns me, and that's so. And I have no disagreement. And even if I did, it didn't matter because He's God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on. Yeah, see? He's just bringing us in. He continues to bring us in. But notice here, she's always standing. And notice where she's standing. She's standing again on the right side. The right side is such an important side. The queen stands to His right. And when Christ Jesus goes in, the cloud fills the inner court. The cloud speaking here of the favor of God. Always the favor of God with Him. But even the much the more as we get to verse 4, it absolutely blows my heart up. It's so amazing. So it's wonderful. There's the cloud. But then, in verse 4, the glory of the Lord. So here we had the cloud, we had the favor, but now here comes the glory of the Lord, went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud. But now look, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Isn't that awesome? Oh my. Just let that soak in there for a second. And then hopefully you'll come back. Maybe it's better you stay away, I don't know. But the glory of the Lord is going up from the cherubim. She is His glory. Remember Revelation 21:11? A new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. The bride coming down from heaven. What does she have? The glory of God. And her light. The glory of God and her light. Okay? She knows that it came from one place. And only one place, it's Him. The glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. She kept looking and looking to that all of her life. She was affixed, and it's His glory. She is so full of His glory, but His glory is her glory, and her glory is His glory. And it's hers. Because why? Because that's my husband. And he's mine. And I'm His. And we're one. Do you see how she can have her glory? Do you see how she can have her light? Because it's Him. It's His. And they're one. Because they're married. That's His wife. They're just one. There's no seam. No division. They're just one. I appreciate how He's bringing this together. And they stood over the threshold. Now, so wonderful. She's His glory, and just like a groom. And I'll get a little romantic with Him. He's been so romantic with me. But I love that He's bringing me over the threshold. How about you? Huh? Isn't that what the groom does with that bride? I don't know if they do it anymore, but I kind of recall. I didn't say I had to carry my wife. I did carry my wife. I better watch what I say. She is here. But I had the privilege of carrying my wife over the threshold. But how wonderful. That is awesome. But yet another vision of this threshold. A threshold speaks of the entrance into a house. Or here, the entrance into the kingdom. And if you recall back when we started the study in the cherubim back in Genesis, who stood in the front gate of Eden once Adam and Eve were told to leave? It was the cherubim and the sword, protecting, not allowing to come in. I just think it's absolutely amazing. Another vision of the cherubim and her place in the oneness and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. It's spectacular, the authority that Christ and God gives to her. It is beyond comprehension. Totally. But I think it's just like Esther. Esther was going out there just to save her people. She didn't realize what was really going to happen. Honey, you're so beautiful. You've ravished my heart. And you, your request, half the kingdom. And if we interpret that right, it's what's mine is yours. It's all ours. Isn't that awesome? Now, do you think Esther was a little surprised? Huh? Well, I'm surprised as I read this. And even though I know nothing's hard for God, doesn't His marvelous handiwork just surprise you every day? Believe it or not, we're going to be surprised even when we get to heaven. And it's never going to stop. It's just never going to stop. I might have a glorious body like unto His own glorious body, but I'm going to tell you, the surprise will never stop. It'll only increase. It'll only get better. Even more marvelous. So wonderful. But praise God, it's all ours. And then notice here, and this might be the whole top or the whole thing. Here we have the house, and the house is filled, and the court is filled now. All of it's filled with what? The full brightness of the Lord's glory. And why? Because she's with Him. They're together. They're complete now. The light upon light has happened. They're joined. They're one. Now the full brightness is there. I just rejoice in that. That's Revelation 21:23. Yeah, we have a couple minutes. Let's turn over there and just read that. I don't want to just quote that and have you look it up. Let's read it together. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun. Don't need any of that stuff up there. That wouldn't be bright enough. Huh? Amen. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God. And I read the glory of God up here. His new Jerusalem, or holy Jerusalem, descending from heaven. We just read that the glory of the Lord is what goes up from the cherubim. The glory of the Lord lightens that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? But where is the source of all of it? Lest we forget. And she never does. Because she always points to her head. But the head always magnifies her. Isn't that awesome? Oh my goodness. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, that's just spectacular. Spectacular. And then in verse 5, and we'll hurry along and close this out. We'll go back to chapter 10, verse 5 of Ezekiel. And the sound of the cherubim's wings were heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when He speaks. So, my oh my, the sound when they get together. And this is what it is. Just the sound. It's euphoric. It's deafening. And it's going to scare. Let me go and tell you, the tribulation is going to scare the world. Anybody that's there. Oh my goodness. And you think of how they use noise now and sounds to, you know, as defense things. They really do. They mess people up with their, you know. Have you ever done that with your dogs? My kids do to them. But it does. It's amazing what sound can do. It can just absolutely break you down. Well, this is a sound that's going forward that you can't even imagine. And here, what's so beautiful is she speaks like Him. Her speech is of Christ. Her speech is of grace. It's seasoned with salt. It's so wonderful. See, it goes on here. It's that same wonderful lady. And I do want to finish this up by turning back over to Revelation. Let's go to the 10th chapter. And we'll read about this scene from Ezekiel as well, too. And it is so exciting. I believe it'll give you a sweet dream. See, it's always good to be on the victory side. And praise be to God that He's offering us to enjoy in this. So chapter 10, verse 1, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud." So here's another mighty angel clothed with a cloud. Now who would this be? "And a rainbow was on his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Okay, we know this is Jesus Christ. Now he's come in judgment. Here he's coming back as the judgment God. Isn't that wonderful? "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars." Whoa! "And when he had cried," here they come, "the seven thunders uttered their voices." Here they are again, the seven angels, the glorified ones, the ones that we're reading right back here that we read of in verse 5. "The sound of the cherubim's wings." Boom! He's given it out. Isn't this wonderful? "And I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things therein and are, and the earth, and the things and therein there are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." And we understand that that's not talking about time as we're thinking here. The time to accept Christ, it's over. Every bit of flesh upon that earth is really going to have a time now. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." And I think of how precious that is, the real mystery. It's wonderful of all the things going forth. But the mystery of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Isn't that wonderful? The fulfillment that he's going to take the throne with her. I the weddings happen, that it's all wonderful. They've been just exchanging the vows all the time and the love and all of this. And now God's going to give him the throne. Just so awesome. All right, let's go back and read 6 and 7 of chapter 10 and we'll just close it out. "And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels," and we're going to get to those God willing, "from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out." I think I just see that so wonderful as the wife just encouraging the husband. Let's get it done, honey. Let's just get it done. The Father has instructed us. Let's just proceed. Praise God. So it's tremendously awesome, brothers and sisters. And I'm telling you, if the Lord tarry, we pick this up, it just grows more exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think wonderful. It really does. I praise God. The incredible wheels, the rims, or I should say the rings, which are the rims that we'll talk about. And by the grace of God to be with him in this splendorous glory. Isn't that going to be something? Isn't that something? And to think he's offering this to us. This is just amazing. See, we're reading about Christ in me, the hope of glory. The manifestation of that glory someday. So I pray that encourage your heart tonight. And let's stand and be dismissed.